Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace. With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Maybe if I just...
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah, just watch that. Of course you can.
Smart. You're a smart guy, Rizdahl. Oh, hello, everyone. It's Molly.
That's me.
After a long weekend, we missed you. We are back with Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where Kai and I try to make a Monday make sense. It's making sense Monday.
There you go. So now, wait, we only sort of got Making Sense Monday, the Tuesday Big Show, What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, Hollowed Out Shell. We're done. And the Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, and Happy Hour Friday. We're done.
We have completed the set.
Well, we can stop. We can stop doing this daily.
Like
now we figured out the names for all of them.
We're out. Oh, drop the mic. Moving on.
Oh my goodness! All right. So, standard format today. It's a little bit of news, something that makes us smile, and we are out of here. We were just talking before we turned the microphones on and before Charlton hit the button about Hamilton and how we both dug it. That's if, yep. I don't know how much of this you'll hear in the pre-roll, but that's what we were talking about.
But that's what it was. Just so you know. And that's like...
Yes.
That's about all we can... Yeah. And even that. Oh, Lord. It was hard to choose today. Not going to lie. And yet, as hard as I thought it was to choose, during your afternoon show, I was...
Yes.
I may have glanced away a little bit at the news to choose a story to put in. And my hot little hands were on the keyboard. I was all control... C, copy this link, go to put it in the rundown, and you were literally saying it on the show as I was about to paste it into the rundown, I see that you beat me to it, and I'm delighted because we need to talk about it. It is
gobsmacking. It is absolutely gobsmacking. And I will say, I try not to duplicate content between Marketplace on the radio and this show on the podcast because, you know, we want people to listen to both and blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But this one I did on the show today, and I have to do it here because it's insane. And I will preface it by saying that Harvard University, the capo di tutti capi of all universities, if you believe that sort of elitism stuff, announced today that it is going online only for the fall semester. Okay? Totally get that. You know, whatever, right? Not really very long after that announcement came out, Immigration and Customs Enforcement came out and said, hey, all you foreign student visa holders, if your school is online only, you have to leave the country or transfer to a different school, which is bananas. It's insane. First of all, immigration policy is labor policy, right? Number one. Number two, we have all these students, undergrad and graduate, have worked their whole lives to get into Harvard or, you know, whatever school they're at, making something of themselves. Many, many, many of them stay here, contribute to our economy, become citizens sometimes. Sometimes they don't, right? But they pay and they work and they do stuff. And now we're saying, you out. And that, it's really short-sighted.
Because their schools have gone online through no fault of their own.
Right.
These are students. These are bright young people who, by the way, are paying customers of these universities. And so I would imagine...
Full price paying customers. Full price paying customers.
Since these are full price paying customers.
International students. Right. Right.
Exactly. Right. I would imagine that the schools themselves, and I would hope they quickly join the fight because that is a pretty big revenue stream for them. But yes, full ride paying customers of a school that is having instruction still online through no fault of their own. And they're going to be asked to leave the country. If not, and I am quoting from ICE, from their news release, if not, they may face immigration consequences, including but not limited to the initiation of removal proceedings.
Right. And once you have removal proceedings against you, by the way, you can never come back into the country.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's craziness. It's craziness. It's so short-sighted.
My favorite law professor, Ryan Calo, over at University of Washington, tweeted, I hope, I'm quoting here, I hope this arbitrary, capricious, racist rule change will be yet another casualty of this administration's failure to follow, and this is the important part, legally speaking, I imagine, the Administrative Procedure Act or the Constitution. Gonna have to step up again, courts.
Right, right, right.
I sort of have two things. One was just that I really want to highlight that the New York Times filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the CDC to get really what is the full data about coronavirus and how much harm it is wreaking on Black and Latino populations in this country. I mean, it is like astonishing. The data that they found, it's like Black Americans are three times more likely to contract COVID-19 than their white neighbors, twice as likely to die by it, disproportionately, like to an unbelievably profound degree, have been affected by the coronavirus, like in every category, urban, suburban, rural, and every age group.
Yeah.
So after the weekend that we had and that announcement today, I feel like I really wanted to bring that up again. And I also wanted to note that on Friday, I read these two interesting things on Friday. One was I read an interview with United's CEO. I think it might have been in the Wall Street Journal. And one of the things that he said that I found kind of fascinating was that he it sounds like he's kind of a data-driven, wonky guy. And he said, with respect to the one thing that he would not apologize for was the idea of selling the middle seat. I also read this story on NPR that said that, you know, there's not going to be any federal mandate that airlines keep the middle seat empty.
Yep.
What I thought was really interesting about what this guy had to say, whose name I can't even remember because my brain doesn't work anymore, was he said, scientifically speaking, that makes no difference. That's not the point. Like, that's not, you know, the 18 inches that you get from aisle to window is not social distancing, and you cannot social distance on an airplane. Right. He said, what matters on a plane is filtration, the way whether you circulate air in a way that, you know, appropriately and safely filters that air, how much you clean and sanitize and disinfect the plane.
Right.
And then somewhat unspoken was whether everybody's wearing a frickin' mask. And so,
Which is also not going to be mandated, by the way, by the federal government.
I found it notable. Exactly. That is the end of my sentence. Thank
you. Is that where you're going?
That the federal government also will not mandate masks on planes. You can mandate any, I mean, listen, whatever you think about your freaking liberties with respect to a mask, all your liberties end when you get on a plane. Yeah. Every one of them.
Yeah.
If there was anywhere that you could mandate a mask, it's on an airplane. And the FAA won't even go that far. I reached a new plateau of white, hot, incandescent planetary rage that I just can't really tamp down. Like, that's where I am now. You asked how I was on Thursday. I have now reached just like supernova of rage.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Whew. I mean,
okay.
Well,
let's make that turn, Charlton.
You can make people do whatever you want.
There we go. Okay.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. defuse.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm good. This really made me laugh. Like, look, this just made me laugh a lot. Thanks to, I think thanks to our show, the federal government released the data about who got PPP loans of over $150,000. And the internet and I had a really fun time discovering that the Ayn Rand Institute received a PPP loan of $350,000 to $1 million. And if you're not like familiar, it's the Ayn Rand books are legendary. And I'm just changing up the pronunciation every time I say it because no one's really sure if it's Ayn Rand.
I get it wrong every time. Don't worry about it.
So I'm just going to say, I'm literally just going to flip-flop back and forth. Wrote The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, which are like legends in the libertarian community. They lift themselves up by the bootstraps that don't need any government assistance. And so everybody's just having a freaking field day discovering that they took this huge loan. And Stephanie Kelton, in my opinion, on Twitter, she wrote The Deficit Myth. Maybe we should. Didn't we have her on? We just had her on.
We have her. We have had her on. Yes,
we talked about having her
on. We talked about modern monetary theory. Yeah.
That was our modern monetary theory.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Guest. It might as well have been a year ago, the way the brains are working these days. Anyway, Stephanie Kelton tweeted hilariously, people are missing the fact that someone at the Ayn Rand Institute had to take the initiative to apply for the PPP loan. That's called lifting yourselves up by the bootstraps.
A little French kiss right there. Mwah.
Mwah, Stephanie Kelton.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mine was a subject you and I talked about once many moons ago. Quibi and Jeffrey Katzenberg, which is Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman's multi-bazillion dollar, I'm going to say it looks like a flop, right? Can I say it's a flop? But it's
we'll
not
know for sure in another couple of days, but yeah, not good.
Yeah. Big story in Vulture about them. One line of which goes, in market research following its Oscars and Super Bowl ads, 70% of respondents said they thought Quibi was a food delivery service. According to two people separately briefed on the research, Quibi denies it. I think that's kind of fab because this thing, which was supposed to be small, bite-sized pieces of content on your phone, billions of dollars later, people still aren't sure what it is. And,
at least they got the bites part right.
Oh, snap.
If you guys have a minute, if you've got 25 minutes of uninterrupted time, like go read that Vulture story because it is, the details in it are incredible. There's a part where it is recounted that when Meg Whitman in an interview is asked like what she's into, what she likes to watch, she literally is like, I'm not a big fan of entertainment.
Oh,
and then there's like
crickets.
And she's like, She goes, I'm really into Grant, this Netflix documentary or some kind of documentary about Ulysses S. Grant. Like, you couldn't even mention one of your own shows just as a PR exercise.
That's so funny because I had her on Marketplace like 5 or 8 years ago. She is so relentlessly on message. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, my goodness. That is so funny. That's crazy. Katzenberg is one of those guys. He's a man of a certain age. Has his emails printed out for him and folded vertically and delivered to
him. Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
I missed that one. I mean, seriously, this is like, you could read this article. Yeah. This article is like, it's a sonnet. It's a poem. You could read it 100 times and come up with a different incredible detail every time. Like, it really, really, really is amazing. Quibi is the pandemic's WeWork.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
I just can't get enough of it. And kind of everybody saw this coming, except them.
For sure.
It's so interesting.
For sure.
Yeah, it's totally a good read.
Totally true.
All right. I feel better.
All right. I believe we're going to move on. That's it for Monday. Make It Make Sense Monday. We did a little bit today. It's not much makes sense out there now. That's the challenge. That is the challenge that besets this podcast. Back tomorrow to talk about the future of childcare and why it is so critical in this recovery, because holy cow. In the meanwhile, send us your questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Put questions in the subject line. And even if you don't, frankly, we're still going to get it. So, do whatever you want. How about that?
We are.
How about that?
The History Channel, by the way. Our brilliant producing team has informed me in the Slack. It wasn't even like on a streaming channel. She just was like, the History Channel?
Grant.
Bless her. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern and official email color. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Charlton Thorpe is in charge down in studios in DTLA. Today, our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez, the executive producer of On Demand, also producer of the podcast these weeks. Is Sitar Nieves, the senior vice president and general manager, is Deborah Clark. And there we go.
Easy peasy. Yeah.
Easy
peasy. I didn't even
peasy,
go supernova.
Lemon
squeezy. Just only close. Baby,
baby.
No fooling around.
It's just a very satisfying. That is a satisfying end to that theme song. The bow.
It is. It's a all good right. song. Our guys did good.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening. Because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.